Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pellegrini Financial and IPC Investment Corporation second quarter conference call. Central banks are feeling good. I would like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Perry Pellegrini. Please go ahead, Mr. Pellegrini.
Thank you, operator, and welcome, everybody. Good morning. I have a few things to cover this morning. Before I get started on what's happening with the markets and things like that, I do want to comment on the whole process of financial planning. I know we, in our conference calls, we don't spend a lot of time talking about it, but that is because financial planning is a very personal thing, so it is very much coordinated to your particular situation. So our conference calls tend to focus on things that are going on in the market, things that are kind of common to all of us. So that's why we tend to have our conference calls deal more in market updates. So today we're talking about the second quarter of 2017. I did get a little grief around the office for my choice of title. Central bankers are feeling good. I guess it sounded or resonated a little boring for the folks around the office here. But the reality is that kind of is the story for the second quarter of 2017. Markets generally have been pretty good. Canada's a little bit lagging, but overall markets have been pretty good. And more importantly, it is economies that are doing well. And that's really what central bankers are looking at. So when I say central bankers are feeling good, they are looking at the economy. They're feeling that things are building on a fairly solid foundation, and so they've started to increase interest rates. So if we think about over the last 8 years, really since the financial crisis of 2008, interest rates have been chopped right down to the bone, and that really was to support the markets, to try and help economies and the markets get through a very, very rough time. So we had interest rates that were almost cut down to zero, and in some cases even went negative. I'll talk about that in a second. But you've also heard me talk about the fact that they were printing money. So when we think about the negative interest rates and the concept of printing money, negative interest rates are one that a lot of people have asked me about and wondered, well, how do those work? And if you think about an interest rate from an investment standpoint, when you take your money to the bank and put it into a term deposit or GIC, they pay you an interest rate. Well, a negative interest rate is where if you want to take your money to the bank, then you have to pay them to hold on to your money. And the whole idea there was to discourage people from basically from saving their money. They wanted the money going into the economy and being spent. The concept of printing money, I think you've heard me talk about this before, is really where governments are trying to borrow a bunch of money but keep interest rates low, and so the way they do it is they get their central bank to buy their own bonds. So it's like if you could do that as an individual, you think, well, I want to borrow some money. I'm going to kind of create the money in my left pocket, put it into my right pocket, and then I'm able to spend it. So it's not a very healthy thing for a long term, but in times of crisis like we had in 2008, it was a necessary evil. So now what we have is we have the central bankers are starting to feel a little better. They're thinking the economies are stronger. They're on a good foundation, and so it is now an appropriate time. They've tried this a couple of times over the last few years, and they've been false starts because the economy sort of backed off. But now they're feeling that the economies around the world are strong enough to support rising interest rates and to start selling off some of these bonds that they've bought from their own government. So that's what's happening. or that's been the story here so far in 2017, and we really started to see a little bit more in the second quarter because while the U.S. started late last year, we're starting to see more of the jurisdictions around the world that are starting to follow suit. So we've seen rising interest rates in the U.S., in Canada, and we're starting to see in Europe the back off from the negative interest rates. We're starting to see these accumulated government bonds that the central banks have acquired. We're starting to see them start to sell those or talk about reducing the holdings that they have. So that's central bankers in a good mood. They're feeling like the economies are ready to shoulder that. Now, the risk is that they're wrong, right? The reality is low interest rates and this printed money, equities and stock markets have certainly benefited from this easy money that's been in the system. And the risk is that as that is taken out of the system, that the equities are going to respond negatively. So the potential for markets to dip a little bit. Also, as interest rates go up, generally bond values might come down. So those are the risks that there is in terms of them trying to normalize their monetary policy. But so far this hasn't happened. So as these rates have been starting to increase and the talk of them reducing the number of or the amount of bonds that they have held from their governments in the second quarter, we actually see that markets have responded well. So they've actually moved up in concert with this game plan. So this is a good sign, and it generally tells us that global economies are probably able to handle this shift back to a more normal monetary policy. But this tightening, it's called a tightening monetary policy, and as they raise interest rates and sell off these bonds, in essence, they are withdrawing money from the system. And we can expect that we're going to see some increase in volatility in the markets as the markets as a whole try to figure out whether indeed these economies are strong enough to shoulder this move. So I would expect that we should see some dips over the course of the next couple of months and a year as the markets try to figure out if this shift in policy is warranted. U.S. and international markets so far have done better than Canada. But I don't think we should lose sight of the fact that Canada was the big winner in 2016. So usually what happens is they kind of change positions. One economy or market gets ahead of another. And I know that for any of you that where we've already had our annual review, we've talked about this a little bit, where we've got global market exposure. We may have underperformed in 2016, mostly because 2016 was a Canada story, and if we're not focused just in Canada, then that means that we would have underperformed a little bit there. The Canadian dollar has, as most of you I'm sure have probably followed, has rallied strongly against the U.S. dollar, particularly over the last couple of months, where we've actually seen an increase in the Canadian dollar that is in the 10% range. And over the course of a few months, that's a pretty significant rally. And it does impact on performance, portfolio performance, particularly if we've got exposure to U.S. assets, for example. If you think about the U.S. market has done well, but if the U.S. market goes up by 5 or 6% and the Canadian dollar goes up by a higher number, say 10%, then on your statement, that's actually going to show as a negative. because everything gets converted back into Canadian dollars. So it's a little bit of a confusing thing, and I do encourage anybody, if you see that and you're wondering, well, what the heck's going on, give us a call. Talk to Ryan or Parker or myself, and we can, you know, we can explain it in a little bit more detail. So I know in the past we've talked about, and Ryan has talked about, this Trump effect. Well, the Trump effect is pretty much wearing off. The markets right now, the performance we're seeing in the markets right now, are really a result of things that are going on in economies around the world. The Trump thing is really taking a back seat. I don't know. It's pretty hard to stay away from seeing what's going on in that world. But the reality is that you can see there are so many things going on with his administration that are not related to actually getting any policy put into place. And so we're looking at that and we're saying, well, you know, there's a lot of news every day, but he's not actually getting anything done. So we're seeing the markets are starting to kind of ignore what's going on with the Trump administration, at least at this point. And unless something significant happens, we don't anticipate that Trump effect is going to have much impact on the markets. We do think that now it is more an economy story, it is more a central bank story, and it's really a function of can the economies of the world live up to the current expectations that the central bankers have in terms of performance. So going forward, we see the top drivers that can move things forward is right now we've got a sense of optimism and expectations are positive. We still do have low interest rates, even though they are rising, but low interest rates and slowly rising can be a very, very good thing for the economies and for markets. There is still some glimmer of hope that there may be some tax reform in the offing for many of the global economies. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. From a concern standpoint, of course, the top concerns are political dysfunction, really, in Washington. We've got geopolitical volatility. What that means is if you turn on the news and hear about all the governmental upheavals around the world, that has an impact on economies, and it tends to raise people's expectations of risk. So that's a current concern. Valuations are probably a little bit of a concern as well. Markets have done really quite well, and so now, as we move forward, we really do need to see the growth in the economies in order to continue to benefit from positive numbers. So, from a bottom line, we do expect some volatility going forward. I don't think that we can have a change in monetary policy and increasing interest rates and things like that without it having some effect on markets. So we do expect some volatility going forward. We still look at it and say very much that we need to have diversified portfolios because it is pretty much impossible to try and pick who the winner is going to be over the next couple of months or over the next year. We saw that last year in terms of Canada being a surprise winner. So we do believe very strongly that by maintaining our diversified portfolios, that is in all of our best interests. And as always, the key there is to make sure that our portfolio fits with our overall financial plan. And Ryan and Parker and myself, we continue to try to drive that concept home. We just want to make sure that the portfolio and the cash flow plan are designed and fit for what you need it to be, and that regardless of what the current environment is, that's the main objective. So I encourage everybody, if you've got questions on your situation and what's happening and how your portfolio is fitting with you, give us a call. And any questions on what's going on in the markets, if you want more color on it and have some questions on how it impacts on you, give us a call. That's kind of the biggest point to get across. With that, I'm going to wrap up. I want to thank everybody for taking the time to spend with us today, and hope to see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.